Now we have Beata's piece. I was going to give you her email. Yes, beatabishop@gmail.com. So if anybody wants to, she'd be really touched, I think, if one or two of you were to send her a message this evening. Anyway, you better hear what she has to say first. So, her piece is called Past 90, It's a Different Trip. And she was very much hoping to be here because the sort of whippersnappers in their 80s don't really know what it's about. So this is what she said. We're told that these days 70 is the new 60, so no doubt 80 should be the new 70, meaning perhaps that aging slows down to make us feel younger, or perhaps less old, by 10 years. But this strange process stops at 90. The atmosphere changes. The 80s felt more expansive, with more room to live and experience. Over 90, time and space become tighter and also more precious. At least that's what I notice. And having lived through the previous decades into my 93rd year, I can report on this relatively uncharted territory from first-hand experience. Yes, it's my personal experience and therefore has limited validity. Let me offer it all the same. To make the trip a success, assumptions must be dropped. The kind of assumption that after a certain birthday, it's downhill all the way. No, it's not. My old nanny, who died aged 103, at age 98, said, "I don't have much of a future, but I do enjoy the present." Very good. As a sad contrast, a friend of mine, an eminent Swedish linguist, decided that middle age began at 30, and after that birthday lived accordingly, losing her original zest, zaniness, and the appetite for experiment and risk. She also changed her wardrobe and her hairstyle to that of a depressed 50-year-old Scandinavian, and she died long before her time. Assumptions can have a high cost. Very much what Di was talking about, attitude, earlier on. Past 90, one gets closer to the edge of the diving board. And that makes every day special. Personally, my underlying feeling is that of enormous gratitude for every new day. A delighted deep in-breath, followed by a happy sigh. But no, it's not all joy and light. There's a loss wrapped up in every moment of peace. One by one, we have to let go of former skills and freedoms. For instance, one's ability to make plans becomes extremely curtailed. I don't just mean long-term planning. That's totally out. For me, that's a major loss, because right now I'm being bombarded by news of tempting river cruises, my favorite kind of holiday, to take place next spring. But since I don't know whether I'll be around in April 2017, I don't pay a deposit, despite the 25% reduction for early birds. just in case, I'll be a late bird by then. But even short-term planning can be tricky. For instance, I'd intended to be with you today, but my body decided otherwise, interfering rudely and keeping me at home. So let me deal with the body problem. I've been consciously aging for many years, and I should add that I think it's nearly 40 years since Beata was given a terminal diagnosis of cancer. She wrote an amazing book called Time to Heal. And this is her story, which is very well written, rather like this piece here, and which I can recommend to you. I've been consciously aging for many years, acting as my own DIY gerontologist. That meant observing the physical changes that come with age and making adjustments in order to cope with them. Sometimes that was tricky, especially because, as a woman, I kept my healthy sense of vanity and found the loss of collagen, the stuff that keeps you wrinkle-free, more annoying than not being able to stand on my head anymore, the headstand having been one of my favorite yoga postures. The first important task at this stage is to disidentify from the body, totally and irrevocably. It's not easy because the body produces innumerable events to claim our full attention, concern and care. We get extra aches and pains and strange symptoms that may not be serious, yet still demand action. Time-consuming tests and checks and referrals and other infuriating tasks when we're much rather doing something else. I know we've all been there, much before our 90th year. But it's past 90 that despite all the body's takeover bids, we must disidentify from it, and must is in bold here. Roberto Assagioli, the Italian psychologist and founder of Psychosynthesis, has a well-known exercise that begins with the words, "I have a body, but I am not my body," and continues, "My body is my precious instrument of experience and action in the outer world, but it is only an instrument. It is not myself. I have a body, but I am not my body." It's a good starting point, which I used often in my work as a psychotherapist, and noticed how some of my clients responded with total amazement. Until that moment, there'd be no gap, however tiny, between their body and their inner self. Personally, I was lucky enough to have a spontaneous out-of-body experience at the age of 24, which I regard as one of life's major gifts. I was in perfect health, nowhere near death, and not interested in anything esoteric. There I was, suddenly floating under the ceiling of my room, looking down at my body resting on the sofa, glancing at it with recognition, but no particular sense of attachment. On the contrary, being out of it was glorious, a sense of total freedom and weightlessness, being able to see with my whole body, not just the pathetic little windows of the eyes, and basking in a fantastic golden light never seen before or since. This was bliss. I thought I'd move around a bit, see the world from this new angle, but I was suddenly and brutally pushed back into the body, and the light faded. It was dreadful, like being forced into a dense, clumsy container with no exit, a true prison. However, what comforted me a little was the absolute knowledge that my body and my essential self were two separate entities, and that the latter was infinitely more important than the former. Hence, it was easy to go through life, a long journey since age 24, with the right sense of values. The second important task at this stage is to clarify one's ideas about death. I know that the job is not age-related, but these days, for most people, not SMN members, even mentioning death counts as a serious gaffe, if not the ultimate rudeness. But conscious aging and the wisdom it brings, together with a wider than ever inner and outer horizon, recognizes death as a natural conclusion of life. Let me quote Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who wrote, "Death is the final stage of growth in this life. There is no total death. Only the body dies. The self or spirit, whatever you wish to label it, is eternal. You may interpret this in any way that makes you comfortable. Past 90, there's only one way to interpret this, with a heartfelt, grateful nod, which is what I am doing now. Thank you."